I find this scientifically fascinating.
You're listening to KUCI Irvine.
Disengage this computer now.
Broadcasting at 88.9 FM.
Hello, computer.
And on the web at KUCI.org.
The most reliable computer ever made.
And streaming through iTunes.
Don't expect any mercy during the Great Robot Wars.
Anteater Radio brought to you by machines. Returning to normal broadcast in 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to 88.9 FM, KUCI Irvine. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of KUCI or the University of California, Irvine.
County in Southern California, Riverside County in Southern California, until 7 p.m. At 3:57 p.m., Doppler radar indicated thunderstorms producing heavy rain across the warned area. Flash flooding will likely begin shortly. Some locations that will likely experience flooding include Riverside, San Bernardino, Fontana, Rialto, Rancho Cucamonga, Colton, Muskoy, Pedley, Rugado, Granite Terrace, Glen Avon and Higgriff.
Biggest storm we've had forever. Amazing.
It's so cool. Dark.
Right. You're listening to Real People of Orange County, and I'm your host, Kimberly Martin. This show is a fun and informative look inside the lives of Orange County's best and brightest. These are people who serve their community in a meaningful capacity. On KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
Well, good afternoon. This show today is going to be all about Houston and Hurricane Harvey. We welcome, in the first half hour, three individuals sharing their stories as everyday citizens of Houston's wrangling with all the ravages of Hurricane Harvey. And if you saw that now infamous photo of the ladies in the elder care facility sitting in water, knitting and floating, and wondering if that photo was real, well then stay tuned. We have the sister of one of these residents here today as well. In the second half hour, we're going to now create our local connection and tying this historic event to some of Orange County's best and brightest volunteers that are pooling their resources, getting together and helping Houston. Right on the air here today, we are going to connect one local group called Huntington Beach Helps Houston to a local Houston resident using her professional business contacts in private aviation to bring much-needed supplies for the relief effort. Stay tuned and see how this very grassroots effort is underway here in Orange County and how local Orange County citizens are helping. Okay, so this is amazing. So I have waiting for us on the air, they have patched in through phone, Edel Howland, Susan Bobrick, and Thomas Lacombe. And gosh, I hope I said those names right. Let me go back and introduce Edel. She is a reporter and executive producer for Special Projects with Houston Public Media, 88.7 FM, affiliated with the University of Houston. And she's going to explain the impact of the media coverage on the story and as well as give resident accounts. Also, we have Susan Bobrick, and she is the VP and Business Manager of Panino and Partners in Houston. She is the president of Pine Brook Homeowners Association. They are near NASA, and they are a community of 800-plus homes. She is also, as I promised earlier in the introduction, the sister of the woman in the assisted living, the famous photo that went viral showing the women sitting in waist-deep, chest-high water. And she has been conducting national and local television interviews. All of these people are becoming pros. Thomas Lacombe is the co-founder of Global Speak Translation Services. His home flooded Sunday morning. He had to rush and secure a new place to live. And earlier, he was interviewed by CNN, by a CNN reporter while in Houston on a bike trail on Saturday. So we want to hear kind of the calm before the storm. We want to hear some of these stories, these personal accounts. I thank all of you for being here. I want to make sure we have everybody on the air and you can hear me just fine. Just everybody say hi. This is, and your name. Adele?
Hi, this is Adele, and I'm going to just apologize. I'm actually on the road getting the heck out of Houston. So that's what you're hearing is some road noise.
Not to worry. Susan?
Yes, hello, I'm here.
Okay, Susan, thank you. And Thomas?
Thomas here, standing in my extremely unpleasant smelling home. So I want that true effect on this phone call.
Okay, wonderful. All right, so let's start with you, Adele, if you can, just in case we lose you for some reason due to transport, cellular service. So why don't you start in quickly and give me a little bit of an explanation of what's been going on for you in the media coverage there as well.
Sure. Well, so, Hurricane Harvey, as it started out, sort of started to make landfall last Thursday. I can't believe it's only been a week. Feels a lot longer than that. And it made landfall as a Category 4 storm in Corpus Christi. And basically, that sort of got us engaged as a public media outlet, knowing and looking at the track of the storm, that it was going to be coming in our direction, that there was no way that Houston that was going to be able to avoid the path of this storm. We just didn't know that while it was in Corpus, that the size of it, the sheer size of it, would be hitting and basically just dropping load and load and load of rain after rain on the city of Houston. So even as the storm was in Corpus and coming over Port Aransas and making its way up along the Gulf Coast, Houston was just inundated with rain. I would say Saturday night was for sure the first and the worst night of them all. And I know in my area, I just live a little bit south of the city, we got about 15 inches of rain, about 3 feet of rain in just one night. The storms were incredible. And basically, as a media organization, every single reporter, every single capable, able-bodied person who could work and help has been reporting on this storm pretty much since Saturday. And, you know, some folks have been stranded in their homes. They've been trying to get information out to other Houstonians who've been dealing with the fallout from this storm, who've been stranded. And we've been trying to kind of tell the story of what's been happening in Houston, even though a lot of us haven't actually been able to get out of our homes ourselves. It's been compared to Tropical Storm Allison, which happened in 2001, and that just dumped a whole load of rain over the city in a short period of time. I think it was over 20 inches, and the fallout from that was huge. And Harvey, because it just went on for so long when it became a tropical storm, is just the devastation has been even greater than Allison. And I don't even think you can compare this storm to any other that has really impacted Houston. It's just been an incredibly devastating disaster for the city and for the surrounding areas. And still continues to be. Beaumont and Port Arthur are dealing with Tropical Storm Harvey right now.
So, Adele, if you could just kind of explain the media coverage that you have seen so far and help us understand, as we, the viewers that are just watching this tragedy unfold for everybody that's there, are we getting an accurate picture? Are we seeing as devastating as it is, or are we just seeing little bits and pieces?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you ask that question because, like, you know, obviously I've been following the media coverage too, as I've been stuck in my home and just trying to keep up to date on what's happening. I think you always see the worst, for sure. But I think the reality is that there is not one area that hasn't been touched by flooding in Houston. And I do genuinely think it's in some ways as bad as you have been seeing. I know our job as a media organization has not been just to tell people how bad the storm is. It's been to make sure that folks who are stranded are able to access the right numbers to get out of their homes, that they're able to know where the shelters are to go, and that they're getting the help and information that they need. And so we've been providing wall-to-wall coverage pretty much since Saturday evening into Sunday morning because of the storm. That's our priority, but we're the boots on the ground. You know, certainly for other media outlets, they will replay you and show you the clips of folks being rescued. And I think the true tragedy will probably only be felt in the coming days as the waters recede and we see how many people have died as a result, because right now. The tally is in the 30s, but I know it's just going to continue to rise. There are so many people who are unaccounted for, so many folks posting on social media, trying to track down family members and loved ones. And I think that's exactly when we'll really genuinely realize that the true, you know, capacity and damage that Harvey has impacted on Houston.
Certainly. So now, it was not a cruel joke that we played our EAS message just as you all came on the air. I felt terrible doing it, frankly. I was like, oh my gosh, anybody suffering from PTSD on this phone call isn't going to appreciate those horrible sounds. But right as we were about to air the show and we had already patched you through, an EAS message had come forward on a local flash flood warning in some of our neighboring communities. And so it probably elucidates how important the media coverage can be during times like this. At what point did the media coverage shift from being really there for the people on the ground experiencing the storm and transition to more of a service for those of us on the outside looking in? What day would you say that happened?
Yeah, so I think probably we started to feel it. So you know, we knew some of the track of the storm. We knew that it was coming. We knew it come through Saturday. We didn't know, you know, what way it was going to continue to go. But I do know that, you know, the likes of, you know, we're affiliated obviously with National Public Radio, and we had learned that some of their reporters were going to be coming our way. Some of their morning hosts were going to be coming our way. So I think that's kind of when we know that it's more serious. So I would say really Monday morning, as the rain continued Saturday all the way through until Sunday, that's when we really knew, and the calls started coming in saying, hey, can you come on the show? Hey, can you come talk to us? That's when we realized that, you know, truly this was not just a local story. This was a national story. And then, as I'm Irish, I've been talking with media outlets in Ireland. They've been calling because they, too, are covering this. And I'm sure I can't, Susan and Tom are the same. You know, I've been getting texts and messages from people all over the world, friends and family, saying, are you okay? Like, I've seen this on the news. So I think it's a story that's just dominated, you know, the world, really, just over the last couple of days. But for sure, I want to say it started on Monday.
Very interesting. Okay, Edel, stay with us so we can have your comments further in the show. I want to turn the story a little bit to Susan Bobrick. Susan, you have a unique angle on this, and you've also, all of you have been interviewed by major news outlets during this storm. So this is of great interest to me as well as to our listeners. But Susan, you have an interesting story to report on. Can you talk to us about that photo that went viral?
Yes, I believe it was around 3:30 or 4 in the morning that I received a phone call from one of the staff members at Wabeda Bella Nursing Home that some water had just started coming in the door. And this was the outside person then calling the families of all the people that were there to notify them of this. And they said emergency services have been notified that we're going to need help and we're going to need evacuation in here because we do have people that are in wheelchairs and not ambulatory. And they were told at this point in time to shelter in place and that they would come back and rescue them or come back and get them. And as time wore on, I continued to get updates. A little bit later, they called and said that in 30 minutes from the first time they called, the water came up 3 feet. And this was really fast. And
very fast.
No one had come back. And so a couple hours later after this, you know, okay, no one has come yet. We have called. Of course, they have a list of, besides 911, all the emergency services in that area, the fire department, the police department, the sheriff. They had called every emergency service. And people said, okay, but no one had come yet. And finally, someone had taken this picture, and the owner of the place came over there as soon as she heard the water started coming in. She got down the street, and because this came so quickly up in the main road there, there's about three houses down from a main road, they couldn't get through in their truck.
my.
So they got out and walked the rest of the way. She and her husband got out and walked the rest of the way. They got to the facility. Not to let any more water in, they you know, banged on the window and crawled through the window. And they stayed with the people there then and continued both inside and the outside staff to continually, you know, call and say no one's, everyone says they're coming, but no one has come yet. And finally, the owner began to get worried, and someone had, whoever took the picture, it was supposedly a neighbor down the street that had come in and said I could help, but she said, we can take these people out into the street and wheel them down to my house and try to get them on the roof. And this was just that complete craziness, because the majority of these people are either in wheelchairs or they cannot get around. And they said, please don't snap pictures. We have our hands full here. But the lady started posting the pictures, and in the end, it might have been the best thing, because people sent pictures back to the owner of the place. And when she realized that, okay, hours have gone and no one's coming, I'm sending this picture out to my daughter and son-in-law and showing them how bad it is and where I am, and this is the situation. And the son put this on Twitter. And from there, it just sort of took off. And whether, if you want to say, well, they, it was a rather bad picture of a situation and everything, it boosted up them to get some help that they had desperately needed and had been waiting on for hours and hours.
It's, go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, it's devastating to think that they were sitting there for that long in the water. I asked this question of you earlier when we were on the phone. Was the water cold? Did you find out? Because I know your sister who was in that photo is sitting there in the office with you right now. I can't believe the connection here to this photo. Did she say if the water was cold?
No, I never thought until you mentioned that to ask anybody that was, you know, the people that were there. I asked my sister, and she said, I don't really remember if it was, you know, cold or if it was just feeling like normal sort of, you know, lukewarm water. She just doesn't remember that. She's standing up, and, of course, she's ambulatory, so she was moving around some. And she said everyone just kept saying to be calm and everything like that. And in the picture, there were a lot of comments about, well, this must be photoshopped, or this is a fake picture, because everyone looked very calm. But that was the purpose of the staff right there, to keep everybody calm. They had moved everyone into the front room there so that as soon as the rescuers knocked on the door, they could all be together and get out as soon as possible. And so that's why everyone was sort of
crowded
there in that front room location. And I didn't see the picture until my two daughters got on message to my phone and sent me the photo. And my one daughter did, and she called up and was crying and crying and said, Mom, this is the saddest thing I've ever seen. And I said, what is? And she said, the photo. And I said, well, I haven't seen it. And then I looked at it, and I'm like, okay. And I wasn't surprised, because they had kept updating me on everything. They said, the water's up to the top of the wheelchair wheels now. Everyone's okay. Your sister's been moving around a little bit. So everyone who had family members there was constantly kept updated on the situation there.
It's just so...
And my one daughter was furious with my other daughter. You should not have sent mother that picture. It's just going to upset her terribly. But that was okay. And so I began, I'm not a big social media person, but I started also getting on the local police page and saying, giving the address of the place and saying, these people are there. They've been waiting and waiting and trying everything I could. Everyone was bombarding the local emergency services about this.
At what time did we finally get the rescue, the much-needed rescue?
I am not sure of the actual time because I was, it was definitely late morning.
Where did they evacuate the ladies to after that?
There was a staging point right down at the freeway. There was one big staging point and that they had set up for helicopter rescues. And then there was another staging point in a big dry parking lot further on. And so they brought those people out to that area and regrouped. And meanwhile, the staff who were not there were working hard to find where can we find a place for these people. They were contacting some other assisted living facilities and nursing homes and things that had space to take these people and that, you know, had not been affected by the flooding. So there was a lot of background work going on, you know, at the same time.
It sounds like everybody was doing their job and doing it very heroically, which is impressive to see. I think it's probably good for the listeners, too, to know the final outcome for many of these people. They were either returned to these homes or to their family. I want, in the remaining time that we have for the first half hour of the show, to bring in Thomas Lacombe so that we have some time to hear your story as well. And then if we have time in the end, we can double back to each of you. Thomas, do you want to share your story? This is not your first trip to the rodeo, as they would say, right?
Well, kind of, sort of, maybe. It's interesting is that, you know, we were actually in Atlanta last week on a project we had done for the Centers for Disease Control. We own a global translation company, and, you know, we saw the storm brewing, and my business partner, Floyd DeMasi, and I had made a strategic decision once our project was over, so we need to get back to Houston because, you know, we could have stayed in Atlanta. People said, you should stay. But I have an 85-year-old mother, and I sympathize, you know, with Susan's situation. I came back because I needed to be close to my mother, so in the event that there was a storm issue, and my business partner decided we need to be here to be able to support the local language community with translation services in the event that there's a disaster. So that was a strategic and a personal decision.
Hold on really quickly. I'm trying to figure out who hung up.
Hello. Somebody,
can you hear me? Don't hang up.
Hello.
Just stay with me, Thomas. I'm not
Hello.
Sure. Can you stay with me? Stay with me and let me find out who hung up, okay?
Hello, hello.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm not sure who
hello.
Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead and keep talking. Somebody must have had to drop off the call or got disconnected,
okay.
So I just needed to drop the call and it wasn't working. I didn't want to drop
okay.
you.
Well, nonetheless, so my business partner, Floyd DeMasi, and I made a strategic and personal decision. We needed to come back to Texas. I needed to take care of my mom because she would have panicked had the storm situation put her in a very dangerous situation, such as, you know, what occurred with Susan's sister. And plus, we wanted to be here in the local community, and we've already extended our services to the community for translation services related to Hurricane Harvey at no charge because we feel that we need to be here supporting the community. And, of course, my mother's fine. I was the one who took the brunt of the loss. I had about 2 feet of water in my house. And, of course, our office was unfortunately damaged, too. So we made the decision I needed to kind of take care of all of the office operations, cleaning and so forth, and my business partner with her other team with the translation part. But, you know, the fact is, what is interesting, I went cycling on Saturday along the two major bayous in Houston, one called Braves Bayou and then one on Buffalo Bayou, to kind of assess what to prepare for. And as you see the water rising along Buffalo Bayou, and I came across a crew from CNN. The reporter's name out of Miami was Rosa Flores. And, you know, she saw me recycling, and so we started talking for a bit. And I said I came back because I wanted to be able to take care of my 85-year-old mom. And she was so taken back by that. She went, oh, can I interview you? And I didn't think something as personable would be such an important component. Because I wasn't thinking, we just needed to be back.
Well, and at
we could
this
have
point,
stayed there,
nothing happened
but we
to
decided
your,
safety's
this,
first.
Right, anyway. But at this point, nothing had happened to your home yet, correct?
Nothing had happened, but, you know, I was in the insurance industry for 25 years, and I'm looking at what's happening in the Gulf, and I knew that the situation was somewhat grave. And I already knew, being, of course, a veteran of New Orleans, you know, I've lived through some of the big hurricanes, through Betsy, Camille, and family through Katrina. So I already saw the situation that was not going to be pleasant. So it was basically determining, you know, which area was going to be the hardest hit, who was going to flood more than the others. And that was the reason why I decided to go cycling on the bayous to kind of triangulate, you know, some of what the loss potential could have been. Of course, there was no way to figure it out because just more, it was just massive in comparison to what you could fathom.
Right.
Think of Katrina, which was bad in of itself, how it decimated New Orleans. But in this situation, it's the aftermath. How do you support and supply all the relief efforts? People that are going to be out here scrambling for places to live.
So
inventories are going to be low. So who's going to be gouging who? We need to be human beings in this particular situation. And I know that Texans will. Houstonians will rise above this to help each other. And I think that's really the important thing. We've all been touched by this, in whether it's physically touched, such as, you know, I was, or Susan, or the other person was online with the media. You know, at this point, we need to be able to support each other in any way, shape, or form, whether it's donations or time or heart, hug someone. It's just that important.
So, Thomas, we have two more minutes
sure.
on this segment of our show, and the mm-hmm. next segment of our show is going to address exactly that, how people locally can help and what the efforts are that are underway in Houston now. I want to take just 30 seconds, if you would, please. You had a home, and then all of a sudden, now you don't. You had to evacuate and find another home.
That is correct.
That is correct. So as you're, you know, having this discussion with the reporter, that was just mm-hmm. a sweet discussion about your commitment to family, you later then lost your home.
And yes, it did. So I had to find some place to live. And again, I already knew, again, I saw the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And so I took immediate steps. And if and whoever's listening to this message, go now, find something now, because I was lucky to find an apartment close by my home. I waited in that office until I got approved right then and there, and I did. And once that happened, there was a line of people starting to form behind me.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
Oh, we only have three left. One left. Oh, we're all filled up.
So one final thought from each of you, Edel. Thank you for coming back on the line with us. One final thought for you, and then one final thought for you too, Susan.
So I guess it's just the main thing is that this thing is not over yet, but I think the incredible outpouring of support from everyone, you know, not just in Houston, but across the country and around the world has certainly made, and those of us who are experiencing this has, you know, buoyed us, given us a little bit of the energy that we needed to just keep on going. And, you know, we're incredibly grateful for everyone who has shown support and love for Houston during this difficult time.
Okay, thank you, Edel. And how about you, Susan? One final thought, 30 seconds. Did we lose Susan? Okay, Thomas, you have a final thought?
I do. Let's be humans. Let's have humanity, embrace humanity, and help people, at levels where it brings happiness, regardless of wealth, social status, or religion. It makes no difference. We're all humans here. Let's all love each other.
Beautiful statement, and I see that happening. Thank you to all of you who came onto the show. I'm going to patch through the next group of listeners. So thank you so much for being here on Real People OC 88.9
FM. Thank you very much.
FM.
Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Bye now.
All right, so I am going to drop these calls, and then we're going to patch in the next three callers that are coming in. I just had to clear those lines, hopefully in time. I think they're coming online now. So just stay with me for a second until we get all the calls through, and then we will... Oh, gosh, everybody's so punctual. I just lost one. Let's try again. So let me patch through. Let's see. Who is there now? Who's there now on the line? Who do I have?
Stacy Massey's here.
Okay, Stacy, hold the line. We're getting everybody on. All right. Oh, something's happening. Oh, I see what's happening. Okay, who's there now? Somebody, I'm just so lame at this. Okay, drop that call. I've lost everybody. Go figure. I really need somebody to help me with this phone patch. All right, who's there? Who's there? Who do I have on the line?
It's Laura.
Okay, Laura, just stay with me. And let's figure out.
It's Laura.
Yep, stay right there. Okay, and let's wait for the next two callers to come in. Our first segment was great. I'm guessing Susan hung up so you could call, right?
Yeah, this is Laura.
Yeah, can you hear me? It's Kimberly.
Yes.
Okay, just stay tuned. We're on the air. And I'm waiting for the other callers to come in. Sorry, everybody. Let me take you out of that equation. I don't know what's going on. I have all the right buttons pushed, folks, and everybody should be able to hear me trying to patch them through. All right. Who do we have on the air now?
Hello.
Yes. Hi.
She's there.
Yep.
Kimberly, can you hear?
I can hear you. Can everybody hear me?
Barely.
Oh, that's so frustrating. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to pull this patch up as far as I can, and let's hope it works for everybody. This happens. This has happened before, so... Okay, so stay with me and call back if you get dropped. And then that person keeps getting dropped. I don't know what to do about that. Hold on just a second. Okay. Can you help me get them? Who's dropped? All right. Who's there? Can you help me?
Seriously?
All right. Who's there?
This is Stacy again. I was disconnected.
Yeah, we're not sure what's going on, so hold on just a second. It shouldn't be doing this, but it is nonetheless. All right. Who's there?
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Who's this?
Janine.
Okay, Janine. Well, let's do this. I'm going to text the other gal and tell her to wait. And let's go ahead and have you go ahead and tell me what efforts are underway.
All right. Kimberly, I'm having a hard time hearing you. You're like very, very faint.
Is that any better?
That's a little better. Thank you.
Okay.
So, where would you like to start?
Well, what I would love to do, we had a pretty good description of what was going on the ground, and now I'd like to turn our attention to the effort that you have underway and how you've been able to harness your professional contacts to do something pretty extraordinary for the local people on the ground.
Well, the relief efforts that are underway that are specific to the organization that I'm involved with is an airlift of supplies into very highly targeted areas, not necessarily a metropolitan, the center of Houston, but the satellite airport, so we can help facilitate relief efforts in those communities that are, one, hard to reach, and two, outside of maybe the spotlight. So far, today in particular, we were able to airlift in meals ready to eat and some much-needed items that allow people to start the rebuilding process, including among them with surgical masks. We brought in some sanitation kits and some baby supplies. That's just the first. In fact, that was the first business jet under the program orchestrated by the National Business Aviation Association, operating under the acronym HERO. HERO is a database by which people who are members of the business aviation community can register as a volunteer. Volunteer could be someone with a particular skill set that may benefit any of these communities, but as well, and maybe more important to the effort, is that they are a pilot and they have an airplane that they can donate. And most of them are going to be business-sized aircraft, turboprops, and business jets. And we conducted, or at least to my knowledge, the first business jet relief, humanitarian relief flight into the city of Houston happened today aboard a Dassault Falcon 2000.
Okay, so so extraordinary. So right now what you're focusing on is the food efforts. And in the days to come, you know, we're wanting to see what the needs are. How have you gone about doing a needs assessment?
Well, what I do is an outreach to the various charities as they are made known to me, and relief organizations, charities, shelters. And I'm pretty specific by saying, okay, we know in general what is needed during a time of crisis. What I'd also like to hear is, what do you specifically have a need? For example, we had a church in a suburb of Houston by the name of Friendswood put out a specific request for cleaning supplies. I mean, there was literally no request for food items, and I double-checked that, and they said, we're good. Locally, we've been able to source what we need to assist people in the community, but what we're lacking are items such as bleach, work gloves, hammers, other tools, cleaning items, dishwashing. They intend to go in and clean 500 homes. And I have to assume that's maybe among parishioners and then through other people who reach out to the church for help.
Okay. And so one of the things that's underway here are local efforts in Orange County. We will have on the air for us shortly a local effort called Huntington Beach Helps Houston. And I was attempting to, if we could get our phone patch system to work, to broker a connection between the two of you and hear how this is going to be done so other people can go ahead and participate in these efforts. You have reached out on Facebook. That's how I knew about what you were doing. You've been a regular contributor to my show here at KUCI, but you've reached out on Facebook to try to find people that want to support this effort, and you would send somebody, a private aviation person donating their time and their resources, to pick up goods and transport them back to Houston. Can you talk to us about how somebody might be able to liaise with an effort such as that?
Absolutely. Well, again, the connection is being made in part through the NBAA HERO program. That provides the airlift portion of it. As far as the collection of goods and services, there is an organization that NBAA has liaisoned with by the name of PALS, Patient Airlift Services, in Farmingdale, New York, which is basically the coordinator. They're the people that coordinate the deliveries, the collection of the goods, and into the Houston area or the Corpus Christi area or Beaumont area of the much-needed supplies, and they in turn make the connection with the relief agency. So if someone is collecting goods in California that need to be delivered into Texas, but they don't necessarily have a means by which to transport those goods, if they alert this NBAA or this PALS organization, or for that matter, they can call me, we'll feed that into the system and we'll make a match between an airplane that can collect those goods and the relief agency that needs them.
Okay, sounds good. So anybody that's here, let's just say we have this grassroots effort, which is what Huntington Beach Helps Houston is. Now, what they did was they were just a group of people wanting to help a couple people that they knew connected to Huntington Beach. There is an actual convoy of trucks that is going out this week to Houston to bring supplies to those people that they wanted to help and others. But what has unfolded since that is they reached out to local businesses that would be willing to create a drop-off. And that's how I found out about it. I take my kids to shop at a store called Case and Couture in Huntington Beach, and she said, I'm a drop-off spot. She sent out requests to her constituency, and people are bringing stuff. So it's growing. It's growing in a way that they're not going to be able to continue driving to Houston. So we thought we would connect you with Stacy to put together an effort so that we can pick up the proper supplies that you need. Now, how would we go about telling our listeners that are interested? We'll be giving them those drop-off points in the second segment of this half hour. But how would we go about picking the right items that are much needed?
Well, I could easily send a list to you or to anyone else if you have the capability to post it on a website.
Sure.
That would be lovely, because this really is a grassroots effort. We're writing the playbook as we go. So unfortunately, some of those points of reference are not readily available at a single destination. But that being said, we're establishing a network of people regionally who could provide assistance, and that may very soon come about in Orange County through some connections I have there in the aviation community. But we have a master list, and we'll soon organize a drop-off point if one is not already established. And then the next thing is to find a willing operator, aircraft operator, to collect those goods and get them to the Houston area.
Okay, so something that is important that I would like to share with the listeners, and perhaps you have the insight, how should those people coordinating the drop-offs, we will be giving that information in just a moment, how should those people coordinating the drop-offs be packaging the goods for an aviation transport? It's very different than just piloting into a truck. Would that be correct to assume?
That's right. Well, you know, smaller is better because we can't necessarily take a pallet of items and simply load it into a cargo hatch because it doesn't work that way with a business aircraft. So, and again, most of the stuff we're receiving is new items. We don't need clothes at this point. If I had to say we need clothes, it would be newly packaged socks and underwear. So they're loose items that you would collect as simple in just a plastic trash bag that could easily be stored. If you're buying food stuff, small boxes, like the meals ready to eat, it was rolled up to the airplane on a pallet. It had to be broken down. They're all in individual boxes, and the individual boxes were stored both in the aft cargo compartment as well as in the cabin of the airplane.
Okay, small individual boxes, soft plastic bags that don't have any sharp items sticking
exactly.
out of them.
Exactly.
Okay, and so you mentioned a couple of the items on the list. Let's go ahead and mention a few more. I think, you know, just from a perishability standpoint, maybe we don't go in the food area, but we stick to the things that people have pretty much lost and will need to rebuild their day-to-day lives, certainly not their long-term lives. But other than socks and underwear, what else can be sent? You said gloves earlier.
They need work gloves. Toiletries. Imagine this. People left their homes with nothing. They don't even have a comb, a toothbrush, toothpaste. Toiletries that you normally see in a hotel, shampoo, cream, rinse, cream, things such as that. You know, let's not shy away from food. As long as it's non-perishable, that would work very well for them. Snacks, you know, anything that's prepackaged, non-perishable. Pillows, you'd be surprised. I've had a call today for a shelter that needs pillows. Sheets. Towels, diapers. Oh, my God, there is such a shortage of diapers here. Baby wipes, baby formula, blankets, Gatorade, hand sanitizer. I think I mentioned new socks for men, women, children, new underwear. And let's not forget our four-legged friends. We are also orchestrating an effort to bring in cat food, dog food, collars and leashes, and cages or crates so they can have a warm, safe place to stay in until either these lost pets are reunited with their owners, or for that matter, we're also conducting an extract. Airplanes that come in to deliver that are also willing to transport live animals, we are moving shelter animals to recipient shelters around the country.
Okay, that's such a huge component, and it certainly pulls at the heartstrings of individuals to the tragedy of the pets and how this affects them so much.
That's right. I mean, it's a devastating story that's being told over and over that to some degree I have now learned to put back on that hard shell and the wall, because everybody's got a story to tell you and everybody wants to tell it. It's part of the journey they need to make towards healing. And I have heard countless of them, and I just have to steel myself to hear them over and over and not break down while they're telling me the story. And then move on to the next task because the need is endless.
Well, listen, thank you so much. I know you're an avid equestrian individual, and your heart's breaking for some of the horses that have needed the situation. The transport of horses is difficult because they need vehicles to do that often. So comment, would you just briefly for another minute before I bring on the next guest on that situation?
Well, I have to tell you, the equestrian community here has learned lessons, and they've done a wonderful job by already, with the advanced knowledge they had that the potential for the rainfall would cause flooding, never mind everything else that occurred, most of the professionals certainly relocated all the animals to higher ground. A good example is the Houston Police Department. They relocated the mounted patrol to Texas A&M College well in advance. And I have seen pictures through Facebook, and I have received private messages from friends that have moved their animals to higher ground and are bonded together by anyone, like, let's say, in North Texas, who's been able to bring hay and other feed supplies down to the greater Houston area and resupply everyone who's in need. Of course, there's going to be plenty of backyard horses and animals that some people either thought they were going to be high and dry, couldn't move them safely. I don't even want to go there just yet, but I would like to say that the established equestrian community did a very good job of anticipating the disaster to come and took measures to avoid it.
So impressive. And I just, I thank you for your efforts. I just can't believe, you know, what a unique position you are in to contact the private aviation industry. And what an important part of these equations private individuals are. Comment, if you would, for just a minute in the remaining couple minutes we have with you, Janine, about why it's so important to stand up and do something as an individual.
It's your calling. I don't care who you are or where you are. You're always in a position to give. It doesn't necessarily mean you give money or goods. You give of yourself. That transcends everything. It doesn't matter. I don't know how else to put it. For me, it's in my DNA, and it's the lesson that I learned at the hand of my parents. It's the lessons I learned from observation. And it's a real fulfilling moment when I can say I've helped someone with absolutely no expectation of something in return. And the aviation community has always been that way. And the business aviation people, I mean, 95% of these aircraft are utilized in a capacity for transacting business. So it is natural for them as well to give back to the community by employing these jets to do good. And that's what we're trying to do at this point in time. And it is not me alone. It takes a whole team. This effort is supported by people around the country, but also significantly so by my counterpart in Georgetown, Texas, a lady by the name of Robin Eisler, who has done this before. In fact, I went to her and said, you're the expert on the airlift portion. Need your help with that. And I'll handle the ground ops here in Houston. And collectively with NBAA, I think we're making real progress here in the state.
Well, it sounds like it. And then I will be connecting you to our local contact here in Orange County. I'm going to close with you now and have her call in. And like I said, she is with Huntington Beach Helps Houston. And we're expanding the effort here for sure. And she is going to be working with some of the guidelines that you were going to give us for giving what's actually needed, not just throwing a bunch of stuff at you, but giving what's actually needed and in the way we need to transport it through the aviation community.
Super. Well, this is such an opportunity, and I'm so appreciative of it, as well as the listening audience. And I cannot say enough, I'm sure you hear it in my voice, the stress that the need is just unbelievably endless, and if there's a will, there will be a way. We'll get it here.
Okay, great. And Janine, I'm looking forward to getting the list. Thank you for taking the time to be with us here at KUCI. You're always such a great part of my show, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Kimberly. Have a good evening.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye
now.
All right, so I'm not really sure what happened. We will figure it out, but we will have our next caller call in. Her name is Stacy Massey, and here we go. All right, Stacy, are you with me?
I am.
Okay, sorry about that. I had Janine on the line. I was hoping to broker a relationship over the air, but it wasn't to be today. So what's exciting is that we have made inroads for air transport. I want you have 10 minutes to go ahead and give me a little backstory on how you got involved in this effort.
Oh, okay. The effort was started by Misty Blue and Candace Kay, both local girls here in Huntington Beach, but both from Texas, and wanted to, you know, pack their van and take a little road trip, girlfriend road trip, back to Texas and unload some donations. And word got out that they were doing this. I got involved. I do a lot of marketing and social media advertising for people in our area. And some other people got involved, from veterans to local store owners, and it has blossomed into just an insane community involvement effort. We have now over 21 drop centers in our city. We actually have to have gentlemen with trucks go to the drop centers every day to pick up the goods and take them to a warehouse where we will sort them on Saturday and Sunday, and then load them up to the trucks on Monday. The caravan, including a 51-foot box truck, which was just donated to us to use, will hit Austin, Beaumont, and Houston, as well as some other small areas, which we've kind of adopted with a preschool in Dickerson and some other things. So it's going to be
an interesting week.
Okay, well, that's fascinating. So what we have organized for you on the air today was the aviation community wants to help transport. And so they're going to supply us with a list of much needed items. Some of the things we discussed before you were here, and this is for our listeners just tuning in now. Again, you're on Real People OC, and I'm your host, Kimberly Martin. I have with me on the line Stacy Massey. And Stacy is locally supporting an effort called Huntington Beach Helps Houston. Stacy is the founder of Surf City Consulting, and she's just doing this out of the goodness of her heart, getting her people together. What started out as a couple different local drop-offs in Huntington Beach, one of them, which is a friend of mine, Kelly Kaysen at Kaysen Couture in Huntington Beach, she's the one that I found out about. She just posted on social media. So social media is kind of huge. People don't realize what happens when you speak out publicly on the internet. And some of the items she said were socks, underwear, work gloves, toiletries, packed in smaller boxes and plastic trash bags, because the airport transport is different than a cargo transport. She said that people were donating food items and they were pulling it up on pallets. Well, pallets don't fit in small private aircraft. So we have to think small suitcases, small boxes, plastic bags, things that can be stuffed softly that wouldn't, you know, harm an interior of an aircraft chair. That you can put into an airplane and then take in there. And she did say, I said, well, maybe we don't want to suggest food items. We said, let's not shy away from that, because snack foods, things that can be easily non-perishable and transported to individuals that are just trying to get their lives back in order.
Absolutely. And some of the things that we don't consider, I had an email from a lady in, I want to say it was Austin, but insulin. Adult diapers. We think of baby diapers, but this woman had an adult child who was disabled and was needing support in that area and lived in a diaper. And she, you know, was very concerned she wouldn't be able to get some of those materials that are needed. So the other things we've got, interesting things, were camping tents, shovels, you know, anything to help rebuild. We've gotten quite a few Lowe's gift cards, Walmart gift cards, things that people can use not only to live on, but to help rebuild, you know, their homes and businesses.
Okay, good. And then, like you said, gift cards are easily transported.
Absolutely.
Gift cards like Get Fuel cards, home improvement stores, those types of things. But back to that personal hygiene, cleaning products, diapers for both adults and children. Baby formula is another item that was on a list provided to me. Mm-hmm. Socks, women, undergarments. You know, people tend to give their clothes, but they don't necessarily provide new and unused undergarments are sorely needed. Bed linens, those types of things.
Absolutely. We've got quite a list at HuntingtonBeachHelps.com. If people want to go there, every time somebody sends something new to me, I add it on the list. It's a front page of my website, which is Unity Impact, which is a service organization here in Huntington Beach. We've turned our front page into a HB Helps Houston page. But you can click on some of our PDFs, and those lists that we have collaborated will come up. And sometimes it's easier for people to have a list when they go shopping than it is to just come, you know, up with something off the top of their head. The other thing I suggested to a couple people is walk around your house. What's in your house that you couldn't live without, that's much more important than, you know, your favorite pair of shoes or whatever? Because we don't realize what things we use on a day-to-day basis that we take for granted.
It's so true, Stacy. And so we're drawing down on our time. Can you come up with any final thoughts for me?
No, just, you know, if you're in the local area in Huntington Beach, Costa Mesa area, we have drop stations on our website. Again, HuntingtonBeachHelps.com. Feel free to drop anything off between now and Sunday. And then we're hoping to partner with your aviation friend so that we can continue to collect donations and put them on those planes and send them back to Texas in a couple weeks.
And so true. Okay, so I have my other call. I'm going to try to patch them through. If I lose you, we'll get back to you soon. But let me try to patch in Laura, okay?
Okay.
Laura? Ugh. Are you there, Stacy? Are you there?
I am.
Okay, I don't know why this isn't working. Somebody's going to have to tell me how to use the machine. Well, I'm going to hang up and have her call in if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
And
thank you very much for your time. We appreciate any of the help that we can get here locally as well as beyond.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Stacy, so much for your time and for your efforts on behalf of...
Thank you. And to your listeners, we appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. Laura Panino, Panino & Partners. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes. Hi, it's Kimberly.
Hey, Kimberly.
Hey, we're on the air. I have two more minutes before I need to go to the next show. What an incredible effort you put forth today. Thank you so much. We had three great guests in the first half hour and two great guests in the last half hour. Drawing down on our time, give me your final thoughts about what you've been living through in the last week.
Well, it's good that I have 2 minutes. I'm a journalist. I can do this. But the basic thing is that there is so much of an impact everywhere. And like Edel said earlier, people from all over the country, all over the world have been contacting me. Every single person who lives in the greater Houston area has gotten that experience. But, you know, the impact is so great. It's everything from neighbors walking around saying, hey, I'm collecting butter to make cookies because you couldn't get to the store to get the butter. So it was an all points bulletin to get butter to create cookies, to go to the shelter, people walking around saying, hey, can I collect blankets? Being at Walgreens yesterday and just hearing that this young man said, hey, I'm dead broke, I don't have any money. And I had a decision, you know, do I have cash in my wallet and can I give it to him? Will he, you know, can I urge him to accept it? And he did, you know, but my response was, hey, just remember, do something nice for somebody else. So the impact is huge, and even though my place did not flood, I'm in the first zip code in Harris County, Texas, that under normal conditions we would flood. But one thing that no one said just yet is that the river levels and bayou levels are high, and no one knows how those rivers, bayous, and creeks are going to hold up over the next days and weeks. So we may have more flooding.
So you're not out of the woods yet.
Not completely.
What an important message for people to share, because everybody's in, you know, relieved by the fact that there's no more rain in your particular area, but that isn't the whole story. Well, we may have to devote another show to this to feel like we've given you enough time to understand the situation. But thank you so much for organizing today. It was a huge effort on your part, I'm sure, but one that comes naturally to you. So.
Well, and you've been such a great supporter for Panino & Partners and our clients and your causes. And, you know, Kimberly, thank you for what you do. Thank you for all the people of Southern California listening and following. We love you, too. I love Southern California. If I didn't live in Texas, I'd probably live there.
Well, thank you so much, Laura, and we will be in touch. And stay tuned now for the next show, Entrepreneur Nation, with Ash Kumra. And we'll be in touch with our listeners here on ways that you can help. So thank you, Laura, for being a really important part of that today.
Thank you for all you do, Kimberly. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now. Okay. So up next, we're just going to stand by for a little brief station break, and we will be up on our next show. So thank you, everybody.
I find this scientifically fascinating.
You're listening to KUCI.